Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship once again. It's 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and we're broadcasting live once again here on StreamYard. There are still no potential for getting into church yet, so we're still going to be putting out our services live here on StreamYard. Good to see that some of you are joining. I really hope that you are all blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved this morning. I know you are. I just hope that you're feeling that. We've already had one comment this morning. So Eveline is feeling blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved. So that's good, Eveline. So it's good to see people starting to join us this morning here at Murray Grace Fellowship, another live service. We'll be looking at the Word, taking communion together, and receiving an offering, or thanking you for the offerings that we are receiving. Amen. I want to start with one of my favourite scriptures that I like to use at the start of a service. It's in Hebrews 10. And it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Yes, we are still not able to assemble in the flesh, but we are assembling here. We are gathering together and we are also building each other up. That's what assembling means. It's not just about meeting, it's about building up. So I'm so glad that you could join us this morning here at Murray Grace Fellowship for our Sunday service. It's so unusual. It's starting to become the usual, unfortunately. But it's still unusual to be preaching to my computer, but it's so good to know that people are listening right now and also listening on our Facebook page and our website at a later date. So welcome. It is so good to have you with us this morning. I'm just waiting for a few more people to arrive and then I will launch into the Word. So hallelujah. It's so good that people are joining, coming on stream. Welcome you all once again to Murray Grace Fellowship here on a Sunday morning. Let's pray, shall we? Father, I thank you that we are able to gather together once again, gather around your Word, focus on your truths, focus on your scriptures. Thank you, Father, that we can gather together to remember the finished work of Jesus Christ through taking communion together. And thank you, Father, that we can come together to sow into your kingdom, to give back some of what you've already given us. So thank you for all this. Thank you that we're here assembling together this morning. We thank you that you love us, Father. You have blessed us. You have favoured us. Thank you that you're a good, good Father, that you want the best for us, and you've provided the best for us through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We thank you that you are with us this morning. Thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit that is always with us, that will never leave us nor forsake us. What a good, good God. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, great to see so many of you joining and sending your greetings. A greeting from Dave and Chris there. So that's really good. And amen from Michelle. So you can see I found a new toy this morning. I can see how to put messages up. So hallelujah. But I'll not be doing that through the message. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get into the Word now that more of you have joined. Let's pray for that Word that I'm going to preach this morning. Pray for those incorruptible seeds. Pray that they get into your heart and pray that you understand them. You might be thinking, if you're not a regular with us, why does Vic pray every week for understanding? Well, it's vital. You see, the enemy wants to steal away the word that I'm about to plant in your hearts, the seeds that the word is about to plant. And if you understand that, that means he can't steal it away. So that's what we're going to pray for. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the incorruptible seed that we're about to plant. Thank you for these truths within Scripture. Thank you for all these seeds that we are about to sow in our hearts. I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds will not be stolen. Understanding so that these seeds will germinate and grow. And over time, produce a harvest, produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Let's get into the word. I'm going to start a little mini-series this morning. And I'm going to be preaching from the Old Testament. Now that might surprise some of you. I keep saying the word that we need to follow, the word that we need to take as literal example in our lives, is the New Covenant Scripture. And that's true. You see, we're told in Acts 2:42 to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And I believe that means that we literally take the examples and the word from the epistles in the New Covenant and take that literally for our lives and not what we read in the Old Testament. But that doesn't mean that we ignore the Old Testament completely. Oh, no, no. I mean, in fact, we ignore the Old Testament at our peril. Full of great examples on what to do. Full of great examples of what not to do as we follow Jesus in our daily walk. I think it was Churchill or Napoleon. It's bound to be one or those two. They've got the best quotes. I think it was Churchill or Napoleon or some other great man who once said, "I do not learn from my own mistakes. I learn from the mistakes of others." And that's what we see in the Old Testament. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And I want to read verse 6 and 11 to you. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6 said, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." And verse 11 says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, if you look at the context of those two verses, look at what comes before and what comes after, you'll see that this is talking about Old Testament saints and about using them, about us using them as an example, as a way to learn how to live our lives. Learn what not to do, learn what to do, learn how to live right. So if we look at the saints in the Old Testament, we can use them as an example, not to be taken literally, but use them as an example. See, it's important for us to rightly divide the Old Testament as much as rightly divide the New Testament, but always remembering that we are not under law, we are under grace, and it's not for us to take literally, but it is there for us to learn from. And what I hope to do over the next few messages is to learn from Joshua and those about him. But we're also going to learn about Jesus and about grace and about New Covenant principles. You see, the Old Testament is full of what we call typology, of pictures, of shadows, of analogies, pointing us to Jesus and to his finished work. Take Noah's Ark, for example. We all know the account of Noah's Ark. We can all relate what happened. We all know what happened. But Noah's Ark as well, that account, is a great picture, a great piece of typology about the safety and security we have in Jesus. And that in this world, if you are not in Jesus, there is no salvation and no safety. Now, if you read the account of Noah's Ark, it doesn't explicitly say that. But if we rightly divide that account and use typology, we can see that truth in the word. And the whole Bible, right from the start to the finish, is in fact pointing to Jesus, if you read it with a typology mindset. Amen. So as well as learning from the example of Joshua, how to live and how not to live, we will also use typology to talk about the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's go to Joshua. Let's read the start of Joshua. I'm going to read from verse 1 through to verse 9 of chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the great Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoeverest thou goest. Now, I'm going to get into this in quite depth over the next few weeks, but I just love the repetition in that passage. It's awesome. Now, most of you know, or some of you will know, that I've been in Edinburgh quite a lot recently. I went there for a week for work, and then I went there for a week on holiday, and I was going to spend a lot of time in hotel rooms on my own, so looking for more things to do. And I had planned to start reading regularly through the Word, in addition to my studies, and read through the sort of history of the Hebrew nation and the people that were involved in it. And I was going to start reading in Joshua, I was going to go through Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings. But I never got past the first chapter of Joshua. Especially that first part. I just read it over and over again and meditating upon those verses. And there was so much to learn from there. So much typology as well. And there was so much in it that this week I actually found it quite difficult to know where to start in these messages. But we will see that Joshua is a great example to follow. Faithful. And he received promotion. He was aware of and confident in his covenant with the Lord. He knew the promises he had from the Lord, and he was going to get them. And he knew the Lord was with him, and he was not thrown off course by external circumstances. And we see that in that he is a picture, a type and shadow of grace and of the new covenant. He is a type and shadow of Jesus, and that's all to come in the next few weeks. But today I want to focus on another important truth, that he is a type and shadow of the New Covenant Church, and a type and shadow of a born-again believer living under grace. So actually, he's a type and shadow for you, of you. We can look at Joshua and learn things about our life, learn things about ourselves through using him as a picture. And that's what I've been really excited about recently, that this type and shadow of Joshua being us. And I've really been meditating upon that. I was, of course, aware of Joshua. We've all been, I think, aware of Joshua. I love the account of him and Caleb coming back with the good report compared to the evil reports of all the other spies. I love that he took over from Moses, aware of him taking over after the death of Moses. That's a special scripture for me, actually. It was a scripture that was given to me by my dear mother-in-law when in a previous church the pastor left and I took over. And she gave me that passage about Moses gone and Joshua now being there and Joshua having to be a good leader. And that's been a real comfort to me, that scripture in the past. So this is a passage that is really dear to my heart. But this month, it's been taking on a new meaning and a new significance to me as a born-again believer, as an individual believer, and not just as a leader and as a pastor. So I'm hoping that this will become more significant to you as an individual, as a born-again believer, as this passage speaks over your life right now. And the verse I want to focus on this morning, that I want to read again, is verse 3. So let's look at verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. And I'm going to show you this morning, through typology, through analogy, through pictures, that this is the Lord speaking to you. And he's saying this to you right now. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Now that's awesome. So what does that mean? Well, God told Moses about the promised land. We know that, didn't he? And he led Moses to lead the people out of slavery in Egypt towards the promised land. But for a number of factors that I may get into later, Moses just led them around the wilderness and actually never led them into the promised land. That promised land that was there, that had been given to them. Moses was just, for whatever reasons, was just not able to lead them into that place. He took them to the edge, but he just never took them there into that promised land. And if you read the account of Joshua, you'll see that it was Joshua who was to lead the people into the promised land. And here's the very important truth I want to get across to you today. This is vital. God told Joshua about the land that he had provided for them. Indeed, had already given to them. And he told Moses that. Here's this land I have given to you already. But he then told Joshua that he and the people had to go and possess it themselves. And this is so powerful. The land had been given. They had to go and possess it. And that is so powerful and so relevant for us today as well. For the people back then, God had provided all they needed. It was all in the promised land, but they had to possess it. So exciting this, folks. Because this is a picture of our lives in the new covenant under grace. God has already provided all we need. Now we need to do is go and get it, go and possess it, go and take it, receive it, make it manifest, whatever words you want to use. And this picture shows us that if we understand typology. And I will also show you that new covenant scripture confirms this. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. Let's go over them again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Go over the Jordan. That means go into the promised land. Go there. From the wilderness, make that move into the land that I give them. Not going to give, not promise later, not will pass on if they behave, not will give them if they do what they are told. No, no, no. It's this is the land I give to them. No conditions. No conditions on the people. Other than go in, go and possess it, go and take it, go and receive it. No pray, tithe, fast, help ladies across the road. No conditions. No, you got to perform. You got to do what I say. You've got to be good people. No, nothing. There's the land I give to you. Go into it. Cross the Jordan. Go into the promised land. Here's the land I give them. No conditions. Just go and walk into that land. Put your feet upon it. That's what that means. Every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. Just go and walk into it. It is yours. Put your feet upon what I have given to you. That's all you have to do, folks. It's what the Lord said to Joshua. Just go and possess it. Now, we'll see. There were problems. There were issues. There were things they had to deal with. But the first thing they had to do was go and possess it themselves. They have to take it, even though God had given it to them. Now, if we go back a bit and read the account of the spies, when Joshua and Caleb and the other spies went out and they were commissioned to go and report on the promised land, and have a look at it and then come back and report, we see that they had seen milk and honey and grapes, and huge grapes that they had to carry on poles. Fantastic provision in this promised land. They were there for the people to go into the land and take it. But you see, the milk, the honey, the grapes were not transported back by some supernatural means into the wilderness for them. The provision of God was there. The provision of God wasn't here where they were at that point of time. They had to go there. They had to go and get it. It didn't supernaturally just come to them or fall into their lap, if you want to say. They had to go over the river. They had to possess the land. They had to take it. They had to place their souls, the soles of their feet, onto the promised land and all that it had provided. You see, God had done his bit. God had done his bit. He'd given the land to them. He'd promised it to them through Moses, and now he was promising it to them through Joshua. The land I give unto you. Have I given unto you? Past tense. God had done his bit. He'd given the land to them. He'd given the promised land to them. He'd promised it to them. Now it was up to them to receive it. What a picture. That is a picture and analogy of our life under the new covenant. Look at Psalm 103. Here's a promise of what was coming under the new covenant. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Awesome promises of what was going to come under the new covenant. Now, note use of that word, all. We'll come back to that in just a second. That was promised. Now, what does it say under the new covenant, under new covenant scriptures, that I tell you is so important that we should be basing our lives upon? Well, let's go to Ephesians 1:3. What does that say? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Use of the word all again, but also look at the tense of that verse. Who hath blessed us. That's a past tense. That's a done deal. He's done it. He has blessed us already. With what? With just enough to get by? No, with all spiritual blessings, with everything that we'll need. We have been given everything that we need for this life already. We have been given it. That's what this verse is saying. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We have it all. But Vic, I don't feel like I have it all. I'm still sick a little bit. I've still got some kind of lack. I still feel rejected. Yes. And in a certain sense, I think we all do in certain parts of our lives. But that's because, now listen, don't get condemned with this. I will show you some scripture to back this up. This is because we are not possessing what we have already been given. We may have some luck in our life. We may have some illness that we're still struggling with. We may have some sense of rejection. There may be lack in whatever area we are in. But that lack is not there because God is withholding things from us. Indeed, God has given us, he hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So why are we not living in that full supernatural health, supernatural abundance, supernatural whatever? It's because we're not receiving it. We're not possessing it. We're not placing the soles of our feet upon it. Now, this is not to condemn anyone, but this is to encourage you that God is not withholding anything from you and he's already provided it. Now, all we need to do is something to possess it. And I'll tell you how to do that in a minute. Now, I've used this picture many, many times in church. So if you've heard it before, just humour me and listen to it. But it will soon be Christmas. I mean, it's just felt like it was March a second ago as we come into this silly season. But it is going to be Christmas soon. Now, I know that because Christmas gonks have started arriving in my house. Yes, the Christmas shops are open. It is going to be Christmas soon. And what's going to happen then? We're going to see lots and lots of presents under the Christmas tree. Now, do presents stay under the Christmas tree after Christmas? No. What happens? We open them up, we use them, we receive them, we take them. Somebody has put a present there for us to take, not ignore, not reject. We possess what someone has purchased for us. We take what someone has provided for us in sense of these Christmas presents. And that's what we do in the kingdom with what God has purchased for us through Jesus Christ, with what God has provided for us through the finished work of the cross. Jesus purchased at the cross all those spiritual blessings, all we will ever need. God the Father has provided them for us as a gift of grace through faith in that finished work. So how do we possess them? Well, let's look at scripture in Joshua. See if there's a picture or an analogy there for us. Let's go back to Joshua 1 again. And this time I'll read verse 5, I think. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Awesome. God tells Joshua to go and possess the land and do it because he will be with him and he will never leave him. He tells him to be brave. He tells him to be strong. Tells him to be courageous, not to be afraid, not to dismay. He tells him to heed the words of Scripture, to meditate upon Scripture, and through that to trust in Him and in His Word. That's what observing the law and meditating upon the book of the law means. That was their Scripture to them back then. He's saying, meditate on the Word, speak out the Word, do not depart from it. Follow the advice in my Word, he's saying. Stay on the straight path according to the Word. Don't go away to the right, don't go away to the left. That's what not turning to the right hand or the left hand means. And then, doing that with God's Word, along with being strong and being courageous, then it says Joshua will have success and be prosperous, i.e. possess what God has already provided for him in that promised land. And that model, that method, that picture is just as applicable for us under the new covenant as it was for Joshua then. Look at Hebrews 13:5. New covenant scripture, apostles' doctrine. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? To that? Is that not what God maybe said to Joshua? So that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Awesome. God will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what we're being told there. That's what Joshua was told in Joshua 1:5. It was real for Joshua and it's true. It's real for us and it's true for us. We can trust God is with us as we move into possessing what he has already provided for us. Joshua knew what covenant he was under. We know what covenant we're under. We know what we've been promised. We know what we can move into, and God is always going to be with us as we do that. Talks about being strong, talks about being courageous. I'm going to touch more on that this week. But if you start to follow what the Apostles' Doctrine says and what the New Covenant Scripture says, you're going to need to be strong. You're going to need to be courageous in this present world. Amen. And we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. We need to believe in the Scripture. Believe in what the Word says. And for us, that is New Covenant Scripture. That's the Apostles' Doctrine. So let's look at 2 Peter 1:3 while we're close. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, this is a verse that you should be very well aware of if you've been around MGF for any circle of time, any period of time. It's one of my favourite verses. God has given all we need for life, for Zoe life, his kind of life, God kind of life. He's given us all we need to live a holy life, a life with less sin. He's given that all we need already in order to do that. And that can be made manifest. That can be possessed. We can put the soles of our feet on that goodness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. Who's that talking about? That's talking about Jesus Christ. Knowledge of Jesus. Epinosis, full heart knowledge, experiential knowledge about Jesus is what will lead to the manifestation or the possession of what God has already put in our promised land. And there is only one place. Only one place where that epinosis can start, and that is in his word. Especially in the Apostles' Doctrine, in New Covenant Scripture. But right the way through the Word, we can see the finished work of Jesus Christ. The Word should not depart out of our mouths. We should be speaking about it constantly. We should not deviate to the left or to the right of what our New Covenant Scripture says and recommends. Don't go with what TV's saying, what the newspapers are saying, what politicians are saying. It's what does the Word say? What does the Word say? We should be meditating upon his words to us night and day. And in that way, we will be like Joshua. We will be prosperous and have good success, i.e. we will possess the promised land. That's the picture. That's the analogy. That's the typology that we see at the start of this first chapter of Joshua. Yes, it is a historical account of Joshua and the Hebrew nation and how Joshua will lead them into the promised land. Yeah, I get that. I get that. It's the historical account of that. But it needs to be read as so much more. Not just history. Not just a history lesson, but a lesson for today on how we can and how we should live today as new covenant born-again believers. Joshua is a picture of you. Joshua putting the sole of his feet on the promised land is you possessing healing and possessing prosperity and possessing adoption and possessing acceptance and peace and joy. Awesome. And there is so much more to learn from Joshua over the coming weeks. Like what it means to be strong, to have good courage, not be dismayed, not be afraid in this world. But let me summarise the teaching for this week. We have been given promises by the Lord. Promises through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has dealt with sickness, with poverty, with rejection, with sin, etc. and provided much better things in return. The promised land is there waiting for us. Indeed, if we're born again in terms of salvation and sozo, that promised land is right inside us in our born again spirit right now. We have been given all spiritual blessings, past tense. We have been given all we need for life and godliness, past tense. But we have to place the soles of our feet on that land to possess it. And we do that through meditation, understanding, trust, and obedience in God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I hope that blesses you as much as it's been blessing me. I hope you got the sense of excitement that I have about this passage as I've been preaching to you this morning. This is so exciting that promised land is there. It's already been given to us. And in for terms of us, that's sozo. Look up the word sozo, see what it means. It's healing and wholeness and joy and peace and prosperity and accept. Oh, it's so many good things. It's already there for us. We just need to possess it. Take it. Receive it. Make it manifest in our lives, whatever words or terminology you want to use. But it's there for us. Guys, it's time to cross over the Jordan and get into that promised land. It's time to put the soles of our feet onto healing. It's time to put the soles of our feet onto prosperity. It's time to put the soles of our feet onto acceptance and joy and peace. Hallelujah. Awesome. Oh, I don't know about you, but I enjoyed that message. Amen.